Here's a little lesson. Sit back for just a bit. Here's how we make a dollar out of 60 cents. It started years ago in 1917. Congress set a limit on the U.S. Treasury. It capped what they could borrow, put a ceiling on the debt. After that, for ceiling, it continued to be set. Congress, both chambers, the Senate and the House, they've raised it 12 times since 95, no doubt. But a few months ago, the ceiling got stuck. Some members of Congress said, it's gone way up. So they said, hold up, we're spending too much. A buck for every 60 cents we've got to cut. Weeks went by, what to cut, how soon? Should we raise taxes? No one knew what to do. The credit rating agencies weren't feeling it at all. If we couldn't get a deal, our rating would fall. Then a plan came together on Sunday night, a commission from Congress to set things right. The fight may be over. The ceiling could be raised. Can we get back to business? Are we out of this maze?
I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we will talk to a member of Congress who was arrested outside the White House last week. He was trying to send a message to President Obama about the large number of undocumented immigrants who are being deported on his watch. Our conversation with Representative Luis Gutierrez is in just a few minutes. But first, she's hit the runway for fashion powerhouses like Michael Kors, Chanel, and Christian Dior. She was named one of People magazine's, quote, 50 most beautiful people, unquote, and one of the, quote, 50 most influential faces in fashion. But Alec Weck is not just a supermodel. She is also a refugee. Her family left their home in Sudan when she was 14, fleeing civil war for the chance of a more stable life in London. Today, she shares her journey at the first Refugee Congress here in Washington, D.C. It's hosted by the U.N. High Commissioner for Refugees. She's one of 60 refugees who've come together, or former refugees, we should say, who've come together to tell their stories on the 60th anniversary of the 1951 United Nations Refugee Convention. They're sharing their struggles, their triumphs, and their proposed solutions to problems that others face when they are forced to leave their homelands. Here to tell us more about her journey is supermodel Alec Weck, along with Larry Young, Senior Resettlement Officer for the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You know, as we are speaking now, and we've just talked about this with former Nobel Peace Prize winner Wangari Maathai, who's talking about the situation in Somalia and Sudan. As we've just said, people are on the move now, fleeing both civil strife and also famine in the Eastern Africa region. So for Alec Weck, for those who've never had this experience, I wanted to ask if you could just describe what it's like to make the decision that you have to leave your home.
Oh, wow. Where do I start? I mean, as a young child, having to have gone through the civil war in the south of Sudan, and I had to flee with my family, it wasn't a matter of choice. It was literally getting to be forced to leave your own home, and miles of walking, not just my family and I, but thousands of people, and literally just taking whatever that you can carry on you. So it wasn't particularly easy, but also it wasn't safe as well. And not understanding as a child why we are getting forced to leave out of our own home, not by choice. So it's a lot of feeling of being vulnerable, not being heard, not having really much hope. So it's very scary. And it's really wonderful to see the light, to see, you know, different NGOs, people such as UNHCR, really come forward and speak out for the voiceless. That was really touching.
Larry Young, will you tell us a little bit more about with all of the people that you've worked with, what is the hardest part of the refugee experience?
Well, I think for every refugee, it's the loss that they experience. They lose the connections with their homeland. They lose the connections with their family, with their culture. When you talk to refugees, often what they're telling you is the feeling that they feel most is alone. I mean, even if you're there with a lot of other refugees, you're by yourself, and all the grounding that you've had in your whole life is gone. And you don't know what lies before you. And that continues on sometimes for a very long period if you stay in refugee camps or you're a refugee in a city and without status. So it's kind of the unknown and then that feeling of being alone.
And also the welcome, too, in the place that you're going to. And some of the places that you might be headed, they might feel the strain of receiving large numbers of refugees, even if it's an affluent place like London, let alone, you know, a refugee camp or a border community, which already perhaps feels itself to be under-resourced.
Absolutely. For the refugees, which is a pretty small percentage, though, who get resettled to countries like the U.S. or England or Australia, it's true. You're now adjusting to a new culture, and people are trying to help you, sometimes maybe not always in the right way, but they're trying their best. And it's both the community learning how to adjust to you and you to your new community. And that's a big adjustment, particularly for some of the older people who've, you know, this is a huge change. Kids sometimes adjust a little bit more quickly. But it's quite an adjustment, both for refugees and communities.
Alec Wick, you know, many people who've gone through an experience like this would want to put it far behind them. They would not want to be reminded of those difficult days. And now that you are, you know, literally an international celebrity, you've chosen to, you know, revisit that experience. And can you just tell us why it is that you've chosen to talk about it?
I would say no matter how difficult or hard or very emotional as it is, we always have to face our fear. We always have to revisit them in order for us to move forward. And that's what I did. Like 6-7 years ago, I went back with my mother when we were allowed to re-enter the country after the peace agreement. And I did a documentary and I came back and I couldn't just get on the runways and do all my shoots. I said, you know, these memoirs are not just my emotional situation, what I've been through. I really felt it was about the Sudanese people, especially the southern Sudanese people.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking to supermodel and refugee advocate Alec Wick. We're also speaking with Larry Young. He's the senior resettlement officer for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So, well, Alec, just sort of picking up on that point, what is the message that you'd like to impart by participating in the Refugee Congress? And I'm also curious about how you feel about the term itself, refugee.
I would say it's very simple as this. We must never think or even feel that a refugee term is a stigma, because it is not. If anything, it's very strong and is very, very sensitive, because it's like if we put a stigma on it, that tells us something as people, as a society. And if that was happening to us, wouldn't we want somebody else to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, we've been stripped from everything, if we don't have families, if we cannot see our family members? That's painful. That's who you are as a human being. And if we can't do that fundamentally, that really tells us something about us as people not looking out for another human being fella. So I would say refugee totally is what it is. I have been there and I felt it. And if I didn't have a community that looked out for me, that have gave me a chance, I wouldn't be Alec Wick sitting here right now talking to you. So
looking fabulous. I just feel like I should mention that. Looking fabulous. So, Larry Young, what about that? I'm just sort of picking up on a similar question. I'm interested in what is the intent of this Congress? And do you feel that there is perhaps more reluctance to embrace refugees in the current environment, whether because of the 9/11 attacks or for whatever reason?
Well, our hope at the Refugee Conference, by bringing people together who've been here, some of our oldest members of the Congress came here right after World War II, up to refugees who just arrived in the last 3 months. And the amazing thing is how much commonality you find on certain issues. I mean, obviously, the U.S. has resettled during that time 3 million refugees. And 3 million people are all different. They're all individuals. But still, there's this experience that they've gone through as refugees. So I think one of the things that we're looking for in this 60th anniversary for UNHCR is really to stop for a moment and just talk to the refugees who are here and say, what it's you as refugees who have gone through this experience, whether you went through it 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, what worked and what didn't? How did you succeed? We have people who are former congressmen. We have people like Alec Wick who have done, you know, fantastic things. But we have people who've just opened businesses and moved ahead with their lives. And not everyone has to end up being a superstar. People are looking to move on with their lives. And I think that's the kind of thing we're hoping to learn from the refugees. Like, how can we talk to the U.S. government and others to say, let's do this job better?
Larry Young is a senior resettlement officer for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Alec Weck is a supermodel and refugee advocate. They both were kind enough to join us in our studios in Washington, D.C., taking a break from the first Refugee Congress, which is meeting here in the nation's capital, this nation's capital. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Lucille Ball was born 100 years ago today in Jamestown, New York. She died in 1989, but appearing on a lot of screens all over the world has made her immortal.
Ricky, promise me something.
What?
Promise me that until our child is at least 19 or 20 years old, you won't talk to it.
What? What's the matter with the way I talk?
Well, I haven't told you this before, dear, but you speak with a slight accent.
Lucille Ball made movies, starred in musicals, and ran her own major studio. But for millions of people, maybe billions by now, she was simply Lucy of I Love Lucy, the 1950s sitcom she created with her husband, Desi Arnaz.
You can understand me, can you?
Well, now, yes, I've learned to listen with an accent.
Lucille Ball, who was an accomplished dancer, plays Lucy Ricardo, a showgirl who marries Ricky, a Cuban bandleader with a nightclub act. Their best friends, Ethel and Fred Mertz, are old vaudevillians who live down the hall. Although Lucy says she's happy to be a 1950s homemaker, she spends many episodes looking for ways to break into show business.
Hello, friends. I'm your Vitamita Benjamin girl. Are you tired, run down, listless? Do you poop out at parties?
Like when she has a chance to do a commercial for an elixir, but discovers during rehearsal it contains a lot of alcohol. And Lucy rehearses a lot.
Contains vitamins, meat, and vegetables and minerals.
I Love Lucy became popular all over the world because Lucy's lovely, rubbery face, exquisite timing, and expert pratfalls needed no translation. The studio that she founded with Desi Arnaz, Desilu Productions, created many signature sitcoms, including The Dick Van Dyke Show and The Andy Griffith Show. In many ways, I Love Lucy was the sitcom that created the form that survives today. Three cameras rolling before a live audience, and the cast of likable characters thrust into unlikely situations. Like the time Lucy and Ethel took jobs in a candy factory, couldn't wrap the chocolates fast enough, tried to hide them in their mouths.
Fine, you're doing splendidly. Speed it up a little!
A number of years ago, a producer and I went to a village in India for a story in a place where reruns of I Love Lucy were on for much of the day. Might have been the only Americans the people in that village had ever met. Maybe because of that, they called us Lucy and Ricky. We never corrected them. Who wouldn't love being confused with two people who made so many people laugh? This is NPR News.